passed it too, Mark and I was watching some of the funeral that in the last year, basically he was bedridden. He was blind and he couldn't speak. And yet they said that anytime you walked into his bedroom, there was just this presence that was out of this world. That even though his body was shutting down, you know, you could still see the presence of Jesus all around him. And I tell you, folks, his daughter made a reference to something. And I don't know whether any of you saw it live or whether you've seen any tapes of it. But she made a reference that this was the first of several moves that's heading to the rapture of the church, was the taking of Billy Graham. She said, my dad is gone, and I'm telling you right now, look to the clouds, because Jesus is coming. And he's getting it in order. And in her mind, she prophesied that she felt like that this was one of the first things that had to happen was her dad had to leave this world. And I don't know whether she's on something here, but I've said this, and I want you to always remember, everything in the Word of God has been fulfilled. The rapture of the church is within a trumpet sound for anybody. And to those of us who know Jesus, if we are alive, we will be changed in an instant, in a blink of an eye. But those who are not ready will be left behind. In the Sunday school class that I'm teaching with a group of men, we're studying the book of Revelation. And I'm telling you, Dale, it's horrible what these people are going to face during some of the worst time in the history called 7-year tribulation. Now, if you are a child of God, you're not going to see it, because you're going to be gone. You're going to be changed. We're going to meet Jesus in the air. But if you're not ready, and you've got family that's not ready, you've got people you work with that's not ready, you've got friends that are not ready, and they're going to get left behind. And folks, I'm telling you this, if there's any compassion within you at all, try some way or another to let them know about the gospel of Jesus. And whatever way you see fit to share that with them. But I'm here to tell you, it's in our lifetime. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Study called The Gospel of John Through the Eyes of Jesus Christ. Now, or the life of Jesus is seen through the Gospel of John. Now, one of the very first miracles that we hear of, John records all of these miracles. And you'll see things in the Gospel of John that you won't see in any of the other Gospels. And we're going to take a look at this one, where a lot of people have really wondered, why was it even put in Scripture? And it was a wedding. You remember this? Have you studied this? Where Jesus took his disciples to a wedding? It was a social event. Now, if you think weddings today are a social event, it's nothing compared to what they were like in Jesus' day. This went on for days. Weeks, the celebrations. And in every one of these weddings, remember, water was horrible in Jesus' day. So wine was the main sort of beverage, if you will. And a lot of times, what would happen is we would serve the good wine a little bit up front, and then once everybody got a little happy, then we would bring in the cheap stuff. Finish that party. Keep that in mind, because this is a story that people get confused. Why is this all about And what's this got to do with the ministry of Jesus? This turning water to wine. You ready to take the journey? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Larry, here we go. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And the third day there was a marriage in the Canaan of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited, that's what bed means, and his disciples to the marriage. Now, people think that all Jesus was all about business. But he allowed himself to have a social life. You know, it wasn't all about every day preach, 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 preach. You know, he relaxed some. So he and his disciples go to this celebration of marriage. And they're there celebrating with everybody else. Now, most everybody here at some point in time understands that on occasions, whether you've had a mother or a grandmother or whatever, there comes an occasion where you have to deal with your mother or your grandmother or an aunt or a sister or whatever. And sometimes when this happens, well, let's just see what happens. Verse 3. And when the wine failed, didn't fail, it ran out. Now, the guy who's over the wedding type thing, we call them wedding coordinators, they wouldn't call that back in this time. He thought there would just be so many people. Well, ended up being more people come. Hey, the wine's there, here comes the people. And he runs out of wine. Now, the mother of Jesus said unto him, him being Jesus, they have no more wine. Mary goes to Jesus. Now at this time, Joseph is probably already in heaven and gone. So she's had to depend upon Jesus for a lot of things. So she just goes to Jesus as if to say, the wine's gone. So how's Jesus going to react to this? And believe me, there's been a lot of controversy on how he reacts to this. Look at it. All right, Larry, let's go. And Jesus said unto her, woman. Now, I love my mother, but I never called her woman. If I did, it'd been just one time. You know, I called her mom. One time I almost called her woman, but it was a bad day. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now, let's try to put this in how we would understand it today. Mom, what do you want me to do? I want you to take care of this. Well, now, what did she mean, I want you to take care of this? Did she believe he could do a miracle? Or did he believe, you know, he could just go to Kroger's? Or was there Kroger's back in? That may not have been. But, you know, just what exactly was he supposed to do? And he said, now, hey, this ain't my job. Okay, you get the picture? What do you want me to do? Look what she says. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, what? Do it. She just looks around and says, I don't know what he's going to do, but if he tells you to do something, you do it. You know, Mary must have carried quite a bit of weight. You have a little bit of authority yourself.
She was the woman.
She was the woman. That's right. So whatever he says, do it. Now, what Jesus does next, why did he do it, number one? Did he do it simply because his mother asked him? Or did he see an opportunity to do something? Now, it could have been a little bit because it's what his mother wanted, because he loved his mother. Remember what he said to John on the cross, one of the last things he said was, he said, John, this is your mother from now on. You take care of her. You watch over her. He loved his mother. But I think he sees an opportunity here to maybe, because number one, his disciples are here. A lot of people are here. And who's going to know what? Look how this unfolds. Now, there were six water spots of stone set there after the Jews, matter of purifying, containing 2 and 3 firkins apiece. Probably 20 gallons. Had these stone pots, big pots, held about 20 gallons. A lot of people. See, at these weddings, they invited the whole town. This was an event. Okay, in Jesus' day, this was a big time deal. So they had a lot there. You know, getting there, the waters, it ain't like we go to a water fountain now. Wine was the beverage of the day. Okay? All right, Larry, here we go. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. You get that? It says what? Don't say wine, does it? What's it say? It says water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now. Take the ladle. And bear it unto the ruler of the feast. Ruler of the feast would be like a wedding coordinator of today. Take it to the ruler of the feast and let him taste it. See if it passes his inspection. All right, Larry. And when the ruler of the feast tasted it, the water now is what?
Wine.
Wine. Now remember, the disciples and everybody saw water go into pots. This is important. Water went in the pots. You with me so far? Now, and knew not whence it was, but the servants that had drawn the water knew. In other words, the wedding coordinator here, the ruler of the feast, he just assumed that they went out and got some wine. But those who brought the wine knew it was water that went in there. And the ruler of the feast called us the bridegroom. All right, Larry? And saith unto him, I want you to look at this. Every man sitteth on the first a good wine. And when they have drunk freely, then that which is worse, thou hast kept the good wine unto now. He said, you know, you get this thing all backwards. He said, most of the time, we don't have this kind of good wine at the end. Everybody's a little loopy. But you have saved the best last. Now, why was that said? And whose benefit was that said for? Now, look at it. This is the beginning of his what? Signs. Miracles. Did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory and his what?
Disciples.
Did what? They saw water go in the pots. And now wine is in the pots. They knew water was there. But here is the key to this. It's not just getting your wine. It's the best that you can get. You pick up on that? It's the best. When Jesus does something, he does it right.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. He does it right. Does it right the first time. Now, his disciples believed on him. Now, did that mean that they really didn't believe on him? Here's what this means. It means their eyes are being opened to, hey, this is a little bit more than a normal man. this is the beginning of them seeing Jesus for who he really is. Because see, we're the same way. A lot of times we accept Jesus and we're baptized, we join a church, and we go along about life. But sometimes we sort of take Jesus for granted, don't we? But then you let something come along that's life-changing. And Jesus touches our lives on some level. And when that happens, we see Jesus in a new light. Because now we don't take him for granted. Because I don't take, there was a time when I took my health for granted. I don't do that no more. There was a time when I didn't take care of myself. And now I pay the price. But even in the midst of all that I deal with, from my cast to dialysis to everything else going on, from open heart surgery, I'm still standing. And that's because of the grace of God. It's because I no longer take Jesus for granted. And sometimes what happens when we take Jesus for granted, he has to sort of put us in situations to where we're not going to take him for granted anymore. And that's the way life gets turned sometimes. Sometimes illness comes. Sometimes death comes. Sometimes financial trouble comes. Sometimes trouble comes with the husband, with the wife, with the kids, with the job. Different things can happen. And you have to understand, am I going to take Jesus for granted? Because what happens is, when these times of life come, either I blame God or I praise God. Either I run from God or I run toward God. There is no in between. So that's why I'm thankful for what all I deal with. As aggravating as this cast is, and it weighs about 25 pounds, I just carry the thing around, but it reminds me that there could be some healing here. Monica says all the time, healing comes with two things, time and patience. And she quotes that to me about 10 times a day. Time and patience. Time and patience. Time and patience. Because the more she says that, the less patient I'm getting. But she says, you know that to be the truth. Don't you love it when your spouses are right? Makes for a good day, don't it? But really, it's the truth. Believe me, 16 years, I've had some patience. Plenty of time. But it's time to close it up. Right? Right. Y'all are tired of hearing about this foot. I know that you are. You're a sweet congregation, but you're sick and tired of hearing about this foot. But let me tell you, folks, time and patience, congregation. All right? Time will happen. And if you're patient, but in the meantime, the testimony of it all is that it hasn't stopped me. Slowed me down a little bit on occasions, but hasn't stopped me. And all of that is under the wonderful, amazing grace of God. So, as Billy Graham said, you know, death is just a journey for me. I'm going home. You know, the man can see now. The man can speak now. The man's at home presence. His body is wonderful now. One day, folks, I'm not going to have to worry about anything either. I'm going to be made whole again. Now, I may be made whole some on this side of it. I may not. I don't know. I'm going to do what I can, the best I can, for what I got. I mean, that's all we can do. But one day, I ain't going to have to worry about this foot. I ain't going to worry about my heart. I ain't going to worry about my kidneys. I ain't going to worry about nothing. Because I'm going to be at home with Jesus, with a body that was made perfect for me. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Next week, we're going to go and look at a conversation between two men that is the most talked about in God's Word. And it's a conversation between Jesus and a man named Nicodemus. And out of it comes the most famous piece of Scripture in God's Word that people have memorized for all their lives, called John 3:16. But before there was a John 3:16, there was a conversation between two men. And Nicodemus was one of the smartest men on the planet. And he goes to Jesus to have a conversation with him. And this conversation, folks, is out of this world, what they're going to talk about. Because he's going to show Nicodemus some things, and Nicodemus is going to be thinking earthly, Jesus is going to be talking spiritually, and how do the two come together? And we ended up with "For God so loved the world." That's coming next week. Believe me, John 3 is a wonderful chapter in the Gospel of John. Would you stand with me, please? Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, we've heard your word today. Father, everything that you do, Father, you do in a miraculous way. We are all saved in a miraculous way. And Father, if there be one here today that is lost, it is my urgent prayer that they not leave this sanctuary till they've given their life to Jesus. For the clock is ticking. The trumpet is in your hands. You're coming after your people soon. Father, bless this invitation. To those who may need a quiet time at this altar, we invite them to come. To those, Father, who need me to have a word of prayer with them, I invite them to come. But Father, your word has gone forth. Your amazing grace is in this building. Bless, in Jesus' holy name, we pray.